Grace to you and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're on week number 3 of Lent. 2 weeks ago, we looked at and through Judas' betraying eyes and perhaps then recognized our own betrayal of our Lord. Last week, we saw the disciples' very sleepy eyes dozing off after a meal in that Garden of Gethsemane and perhaps identified the times when we have fallen asleep in doing our Christian duty. This week, we're going to examine other ways that sinful eyes can fail as we examine the denying eyes of Peter and of the other apostles, and then perhaps even ourselves. Back in the upper room, the apostles and Jesus had sung a hymn, and then they headed out for the Mount of Olives. Jesus told the group they would all fall away. He told them that it would happen because that is what the prophet Zechariah said. The prophet Zechariah recorded, "Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Their very proud and bold spokesperson, Peter, thought he was exempt from this prophecy. He said, "Even though they all fall away, I won't." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." Peter never went halfway anywhere. He was always full bore, all out, wherever he went. But everybody else said the same thing. They all joined Peter. "We'll die with you." They all said they would never fall away. They denied the very words of Jesus, whom they confessed to be the Son of God. Probably not the wisest thing to do. They were denying the words that actually came from the lips of Jesus, as well as the inspired and errant word of Holy Scripture, which they had available to them in the Old Testament in the prophet Zechariah. What was in the eyes of the apostles as they looked on Jesus, predicting their failing him? You have to wonder. Maybe at first it was a look of horror at such an awful prospect. The idea that I would deny someone that I've spent 3 years learning under. And then probably a look of disbelief as they processed what he said and began to form their defenses, even if it was defenses only within their own internal thoughts. The eyes of the apostles weren't really seeing Jesus and letting the truth of his words really sink in. They were blinded by their own delusions. They were lying to themselves as they were denying their Lord's words. They were focused on their own perceptions and plans, and they had their minds on the things of men rather than on the things of God. The apostles would, in fact, go on to deny Jesus by falling away in spite of that very stern protest, and they'd do it within a few hours. But Peter, not only did Peter run at the Garden of Gethsemane, but then he and John followed the gang that arrested Jesus, and Peter's out in the courtyard, right? Then we see Peter verbally deny Jesus in an incredibly dramatic way when he was questioned by a little girl, a servant girl, and some bystanders. As we saw last week, with Jesus alone and awake while the others slept, this is how it has to be. He had to be the last one standing, the only one making that good confession, the one who would never deny the will of his Father, but would humbly submit to and suffer death for our salvation. It had to be this way. When Jesus quoted the prophecy of Zechariah, what's interesting is if you pay very close attention, he actually added 2 words. I left them out. Jesus said, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. In fact, here's the full quote from Zechariah. It actually says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, declares the Lord of hosts, strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. And Jesus, right, is the man who stands next to God. So you see his divine and his human natures in this one prophecy. He is the one who strikes, and he is the shepherd who is struck. He's the one against whom the Father bids that sword awaken. It's just like we heard a couple of weeks ago. The one who ultimately handed Jesus over wasn't really Judas. It was really the Father himself who handed Jesus over first. And last week, it was the Father's will that Jesus drink the cup of his wrath in full, emptying it to the last drop. That takes us back to Isaiah 53 and the Father's will to crush the Messiah so that the masses, the people, would be called righteous in the Father's sight. Isaiah 53 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. By his wounds, we are healed. Jesus said, I will strike the shepherd. And Jesus was stricken with all that for you. But that's not the end. You see, again, earlier I was focusing on Jesus' words about the disciples falling away and denying him, but I did leave a piece out. Jesus told them that they would all fall away, but then he said, after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. His words about falling away in denial did prove true, but even more importantly, so did his prediction of the resurrection and his appearing to the apostles. To these denying and doubting apostles, Jesus entrusted the teaching and the baptizing that would go to all nations, that has even reached us here and our ancestors who came before us, and it would turn deniers of God into confessors, into followers of Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But what about Peter? What about Peter, who had fallen deeply into denying Jesus? We think we would never do such a thing, but how many times have we stood by silently when someone spoke words contrary to the Word of God? How many opportunities to confess the gospel to others have we allowed to pass us by for fear of maybe giving offense? We really should recognize in Peter an example to follow in the way he expressed his repentance over what he had done. Unlike Judas, Judas did have a change of heart, but he still thought he had to fix it himself. He didn't do that well. Peter had a true godly sorrow over his sins, which prepared him for the forgiveness he would receive on Easter morning. Easter morning is when Jesus appeared to the apostles, showed them his hands and his side, and spoke those forgiving words. Peace be with you. He could have said, I told you so. He said, peace be with you. Later on in Galilee, Peter got a special singling out. Since Peter had made such a spectacle of himself in denying his Savior when they were at the lake and they had just finished breakfast, Jesus singles Peter out to make a spectacle of him. Do you love me? Three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? And then Peter was restored. Turned from being a denier and handed the office of confessor. And then Jesus said, follow me, to that restored Peter. Now he says the same to us. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul, his life? When Jesus says life there, he's talking about eternal life. You see, through your holy baptism into Christ, you have been given the greater gift, a gift greater than the whole world. In holy baptism, we drown that old Adam to death. In holy baptism, you have lost your life in this world for the sake of Christ and have now found your life in him and his kingdom. There you are saved from sin and from death and from hell. You can now look forward to that resurrection of the dead and the eternal life that comes. In Jesus' name, amen.